Welcome to the Best 5-Minute Wine Podcast. I'm your host, Forrest Kelly. From the seed to the glass, wine has a past. Our aim at the Best 5-Minute Wine Podcast is to look for adventure at wineries around the globe. After all, grape minds think alike. Let's start the adventure. Our featured winery is... We continue our conversation with Vito, the founder of WineCork.com. As we get into part three, Vito, working for a distributor isn't necessarily what you know about the wine per se. Is it more about being a good salesman?
Yeah, as long as you're educated in what you're selling, yes, you're absolutely correct. To me, I kind of had a leg up because I was Italian. And so working with an Italian distributor, which was from my hometown, which is, you know, it's another, not a funny story. It was much easier for me. And so I would go into an Italian restaurant, I'm Italian. So you already have kind of broken that first barrier. Yeah, you just build connections. It's all about relationships and really building those connections. But then moving to a restaurant, it was a, you know, fine dining high-end restaurant. It was very different because that you need to be knowledgeable about food, about wine, about pairing. So that's when my journey really started in terms of like really studying. And I had the opportunity to meet with a lot of producers. And so that's when I started fostering more of that passion for stories. And so to me, I think that's what we talked about before. It was never about selling the most expensive bottle of wine. To me, it's always been about how can I create a great experience and get people to really get what they're looking for, right? Really surprise them so they will come back. And so even if everybody in the space and in restaurants, but I guess it's in sales in general, they're just trying to increase their sales, right? Their revenue. I sold the most expensive. I sold, you know, $10,000 worth of wine. To me was, I'd be happy selling five, but then getting that customer back 3-4 more times, which over the course of a year, right, you're generating more revenue for the restaurant. So I've always had that mindset that my dad taught me on how to really do business, how to sell, that has really kind of helped me really move up.
When you're working with the wine industry, maybe you can answer this question for me. What is the science behind the whole philosophy of, you know, red pairing red wine with red meat and white wine with fish? Why is that so crucial?
That's a very great question. So obviously there are guidelines on, right, red wine, it's a no with fish. And it's very simple. The reason why, it's because wine overpowers food, right? You never want that, right? It's an experience. And so you want to taste the food and you want the wine to just complement that. So that's a rule. But there's something that I get backlash from when I speak to friends, or even when I worked in restaurants. The wine industry has kind of put a stigma on what's right or what's wrong. And to me, it's all about what you like. So when it comes to wine pairing, I try not to follow the kind of what the rule is. I try to say, hey, what is something that you like? Obviously, if you're making, you know, if you're in a fine dining restaurant like Giorgio Armani, you're making a wine pairing, it just becomes, you have to follow some guidelines. You're trying to elevate the experience. But if you're home and you're having pizza or you having pasta, there isn't, to me, a rule on what you're supposed to, as long as you're just enjoying it and you're having a good time.
Oh, yeah. When I'm watching TV, you know, watching the Lakers or the Dodgers or the Rams and kicking back and having some good wine with some nice salty French fries.
I love that. I mean, my favorite pairing is pizza and champagne or pizza and fried chicken. So that's very simple, right? It's nothing, you know, nothing very sophisticated. But I think at the end of the day, it's really what you enjoy. Usually fried food goes very well with champagne. So next time you get French fries, I would highly recommend a bottle of champagne or Riesling.
Will somebody answer that phone?
It's time, boys and girls, for our listener voicemail.
Aloha from Hilo, Hawaii. Hey, Forrest, this is Shane. Longtime listener, first time caller. Hey, Forrest, recently I went to the mainland and visited a vineyard. I ended up buying like 12 bottles of wine. I really wanted to know, what temperature should I store these things if I don't have a wine cellar?
Hey, Shane, a great question. A couple of things to keep in mind if you don't have your own wine cellar. You want to keep it dark, away from sunlight. You don't want any radical temperature changes. 55 degrees is optimal temperature, but you can do it anywhere between 45 and 65, just as long as there aren't any drastic temperature changes. Also, if you can, keep the wine on its side, as you don't want the cork to be disconnected from the wine. You don't want that cork drying out. Thank you for listening and taking the time to ask that great question.
Follow.
Thank you for listening. I'm Forrest Kelly. This episode of the Best 5-Minute Wine Podcast was produced by iHizzer. If you like the show, please tell your friends and pets and subscribe. Until next time, pour the wine and ponder your next adventure.
Hi, before you go, we have exciting news.
The Best 5-Minute Wine Podcast has teamed with a breakthrough technology
and added a new feature on our website
that's bound to elevate your podcast experience.
Here is where we need your help. Trying to remember something from an episode?
Don't worry.
Search for it, and we will find it for you. Have you ever thought you could just ask questions and chat about the episodes as if you were talking to me?
Well, now you can. That's right. Our episodes are now interactive, and they're waiting to have a conversation with you.
Jump into a chat with our podcast, and let's get the conversation started. Try it out and tell us what you think.
Click on the banner at the top of the website, thebestwinepodcast.com, to try it.